Good morning. Greetings from West Virginia and the Roanoke, Virginia congregation. Glad I am thankful to be here. Rita and I would like to thank everyone for their prayers these last 8 weeks. We know God performed some miracles. Thankful for that. I have a question for you today. Do you have beautiful feet? Now you may be wondering, what kind of a question is that to be asking? Who ever heard of feet being particularly beautiful? I mean, we don't have beauty contests for feet. After all, the feet are parts of the body that take a lot of punishment. They have all those calluses and corns, ingrown toenails. And you know, some have called the feet the ugliest part of the body. Yet in spite of this, the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Here in Romans chapter 10, we find here in verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, we know the word preach means to announce good news. Then notice the phrase beautiful feet. You know, what was Paul actually talking about here? Actually, the scripture in Romans is a quotation from Isaiah. It's out of the book of Isaiah. Paul was quoting Isaiah here. And to understand this scripture, we need to picture ourselves in the time that Isaiah lived. There's quite a contrast to today. Back then, the news traveled very, very slowly. We don't have the instant communication that we have today. You know, we're so used to this instant communication. You know, you see everyone carrying around their mobile phones, and you know, we're so used to being in contact with people. But in that day, the fastest way to get a message, even a short distance, was by a personal messenger. They had these messengers that would run over the countryside. Running over these hot and dusty roads could be a very grueling job. In order to do this job, a person not only had to be in good physical condition, but there were certain occupational hazards that went with this job of being a messenger. Sometimes the messenger had the task of carrying some bad news. And if the king or ruler happened to sometimes not like the news he was receiving, I've read of instances, I'm not sure that's true or not, but they'd actually behead the messenger for bringing the bad news. A definite occupational hazard. But you know, when the messenger had good news, it was not only thrilling for the one receiving the news, but also for the runner if he was bearing good news. He would often get a bonus, some extra money. And the receiving of the good news was also appreciated by the hearer. And people often look forward to these messengers coming. When they see them coming, it's like today, maybe seeing the UPS or the FedEx truck out in front of your house, knowing he's going to bring you some goodies. The messenger who brought the good news, his feet were described as being beautiful. You know, one of the responsibilities of this era of God's church, the body of Jesus Christ, is to carry the message, the good news of God's government, of God's kingdom to this world as a witness. You know, as we look around at this dying world, we realize, brethren, this world needs good news. And brethren, think about it. We have that message, the good news to deliver. You know, that is God's government. A right and just government is going to rule. And we know that this world desperately needs peace. You know, we have that message. We have been given that message. The good news that this peace is going to last. It is going to last. So we see that we have a joyful message, exciting message of good news. As Paul stated here in verse 15, the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. So brethren, we can be compared to this messenger, this runner. Paul was not only describing us individually, but also collectively. Collectively as a church of God, the body of Christ. At the same time, from this analogy of the runner, it becomes obvious the importance of unity. You know, we know that a good runner has to be coordinated, all the parts of the body working as one. And Paul is telling us, essentially in verse 15, that we need to be united, working together. We have to do that, brethren, in order to get this job done, to get the message delivered, to get this message to its intended destination. You know, one of the commissions of God's church at this time is to deliver the message to this whole world as a witness. And brethren, think about it. It would be ridiculous to think of trying to accomplish this as an individual. But you know, with the body all working together in unity, God is telling us this is a job that can be done. He wouldn't give it to us if it couldn't be done. Just like the runner, in order to get the message through in time, he could not be sidetracked. He couldn't get off of the path. And brethren, we have to stay on the path. That's when God's Spirit comes into play. Brethren, it takes spiritual power to keep the body, the church, on the right course, to keep us as runners on the right path, to keep us headed in the right direction. And just like the runner, that runner, he had to get the message there on time. And you know, there's also a time factor involved for us to get that message delivered. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And we read in Matthew 24 the urgency in getting that message delivered. Matthew 24, verse 14. Scripture I know you're all very familiar with in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice the shalls here. It shall be done, and then shall the end come. We can see there is a schedule to be met. I think we can see the analogy between the delivering of the message, this message of the kingdom, as compared to the messenger in Isaiah's day. But why didn't Paul say in Romans 10:15, you know, when that message was delivered, how beautiful it is to see your smiling face, rather than how beautiful are your feet? You know, we're shown in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 12. We see another analogy in 1 Corinthians 12 of comparing the church to the human body, that we as members are compared to the various parts of the human body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not one member. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know, brethren, our human nature tells us, you know, I don't want to be a foot in the body of Christ. Our human nature tells us, you know, I was meant for higher things. That's the lowest part, the foot. You know, this society, our nature, and the ultimate blame goes back to Satan They tell us we want to be the head. We want to be in, we want to be the boss. And you know, Christ had that same problem with his disciples. For example, when the mother of two of the disciples had come to Christ to ask that two of her sons be given special positions in the kingdom, and Christ went on to tell the disciples, that's the way of the Gentiles. That's the way of this world. That's the way of Satan. They want to exercise authority. They want to lord it over others. Exercise dominion over others. But he told his disciples, that wasn't the way it was going to be. That shouldn't be among his followers. Matthew 20, Christ is saying, don't do this. This is not the way. Verse 26. But it shall not be among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be the servant, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The attitude was what Paul was talking about when he said, how beautiful are the feet. How good are we at being the feet in the body of Christ? You know, even though Satan, this society tells us, our nature tells us, the only important part is the head, Paul is telling us it's beautiful to be the feet. Brethren, are we fulfilling that analogy? One of the things that we can learn from this analogy of the feet, they are the lowest part of the body. As a foot, we must look up to all the other members of the body. Do we really feel that way about the other members of the body of Christ? It's not natural to esteem others better than ourselves, as we're told to do in the book of Philippians. You know, another lesson that we can learn from the foot is the foot goes where the head tells it to go. You know, when the head tells our feet to stop, our feet stop. Do we respond in the same way when the head of the church, Jesus Christ, tells us to stop? Do we submit to Christ? Do we respond in the same manner? Is it God's will or is it our will? You know, as Christ who set the example of being submissive to the Father, if we think about it, the feet are a beautiful analogy. Analogy of the type of servant Christ was talking about. You know, the feet serve as, you know, they carry the weight of the whole body all the day long. They really do serve the body. We should be just as busy serving in the body of Christ, serving in God's work. Just like the example that Christ used when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Guess what? Brethren, this job of being a messenger doesn't end with the return of Jesus Christ. This job of being the messenger continues over into the kingdom. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. And what we find in the book of Jeremiah is this is only the beginning. In verse 3, Jeremiah 23, verse 3. In verse 3 he says, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their fields. And they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who feed them, and they fear no more nor be dismayed, nor the ship shall be lacking, says the Lord. I want you to notice the work here, the job of the shepherd. You know, the job of the shepherd is not to lord it over the sheep. Notice what it says. They're to feed the sheep. They're to serve. In the kingdom, the work of the messenger continues on. Today, we've seen that Paul using this analogy of the feet to show us that we should be serving now, but also in the future, busy doing the work of God. preparing to carry that message over into the coming kingdom. So to answer the question I asked in the beginning, do you have beautiful feet? Yes, brethren, they are beautiful in the sight of God if we're busy serving the body of Christ, serving the other members of the body. They are beautiful if we're following Jesus Christ. Beautiful if we're willing to carry that message over into the kingdom. Beautiful if we're esteeming others better than ourselves. Beautiful if we're helping to carry the good news of the coming kingdom of God, of God's government into this dying world and over into the kingdom of God.